Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters.
You went in on that one.
I know.
You're very...
That's as exciting as the show's going to get this episode.
That's it.
I'm your host, SBJ. Episode... Sorry. Episode
Go ahead.
45.
Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
This is where you say that you're the co-host.
Oh, is it my turn? Yeah. Okay. All right. And I'm your co-host, Micah.
We're here to talk about Monster Hunter. There's like a quiet lull in Monster Hunter.
Well, they just did a million things.
Yeah.
I feel like there's got to be some downtime at some point.
No, that's fine. I mean, like, I don't mind it.
And to be fair, there still isn't really downtime. Like, we've had consistently at least some kind of event happening every week for the last however long now.
I mean, technically, it's like the Devil May Cry stuff.
Yeah, the Devil May Cry stuff and the Sakura stuff, the Street Fighter stuff.
Yeah.
Like, those are
both
happening right now.
Which is, like, the second time we've gotten Sakura.
No, this is the first time.
What happened to the
Ryu. We got Ryu. Now we got Sakura.
And that was Chun-Li.
No.
But that's a Street Fighter person, right?
That is a Street Fighter.
What did I say her name was?
I don't remember. It was really good, though. I don't remember what you called Zangief either, but that was pretty incredible.
Blanka. That's my favorite Street Fighter.
Blanka's in the game.
In Monster Hunter?
Yeah, he's the
oh,
the guy with the white hair.
Yeah, free. Yeah. $0.
Yep. And he dyed it white.
Yeah.
And he leads you into Elder's Recess.
Correct. And he's very slow.
Yeah.
And he's like, hurry up. And you're like, I'm literally walking as fast as I can. I'm trying to get to Elder's Recess, buddy. You're blocking the way. This might be a little bit of a shorter episode because... not actually a terrible amount and happening.
Correct.
And I don't have like a good hunting story. I've like hunted a couple times solo, but nothing really dramatic happened.
Yeah.
Sometimes I usually have like something good, like, oh, you wouldn't believe what this sounds like a BuzzFeed article. You won't believe
what this Nergigante is doing with those spikes. I don't know.
10 fish you wouldn't believe turns into arrows. I don't have any good stories, but I do have a little bit of Monster Hunter news.
There's news?
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a bunch of articles about this. I like to give every site their due.
Yeah.
I pulled this one from Variety.com.
I think this is the same one I looked at
for
this.
I think it was like that, the top one. I don't know why it wasn't like Polygon or Giant Bomb or like an actual gaming website, which is really weird, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Kotaku, I suppose. But I don't think we've read something from Variety in a while. I mean, they're a pretty...
I don't think ever, maybe.
pretty small website. No one's ever heard of them. We want to give them their chance to shine here. Monster Hunter World is Capcom's best... selling game of all time.
All time.
This seems unbelievable.
It does a little bit, especially when you see, when you look at the actual chart.
Well, like, okay, before I read the rest of the article, you're a big Capcom fan.
I am.
I like Capcom stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a big Resident Evil fan.
Yeah, it's good.
Before we continue
Can I ask you your thoughts on Resident Evil 5?
5?
Yeah.
That's the one after 4, which everyone loved.
Yeah.
I liked 5.
5 was the one...
Co-op.
Yes.
So I have a good story about 5. I don't even remember where I met this person. I think I met them through PSN playing Mag.
Oh, I remember Mag.
Yeah, Mag.
Wasn't it like 32 PvP?
It was 128 versus 128.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But it was broken down into like... squads of 32, and then somebody would be the commander, and then somebody would be the, like, other commanders and stuff.
And then Starhawk was, like, the same thing, but in space, right?
Starhawk was the sequel to Warhawk. You remember? Because Warhawk...
I do remember Warhawk.
Warhawk was, I think, 32 versus 32.
Okay.
I got stories about Warhawk,
there's a lot
too.
Of these.
Warhawk was incredible. I liked Meg. I know a lot of people didn't like Meg, but Meg was made by, I'm pretty sure, the SOCOM, the people who did SOCOM.
I think you're right.
But I believe I met this person through Meg. I'm friends with them now on Facebook. He lives in Japan now.
Whoa. Hold on. This was where you met them through Meg?
Yeah.
And you're friends with them on Facebook?
Yeah.
The internet is a weird place.
So we were probably friends on Twitter. No, it was Facebook. It was Facebook.
Okay.
Okay, so I said, I'm not buying Resident Evil 5. This was when I was like an edgelord back in, probably right out of high school when Resident Evil 5 came out.
When it makes the most sense for you to broadcast to all of your Facebook friends that you're going against the grain by not buying a game that everyone else is buying.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm not buying or playing Resident Evil 5 unless I can play it co-op with somebody.
Oh, I see.
And he messaged me and he said, I will play the game co-op with you. And we played 3 nights in a row. I don't know much about him. I know he got married. He lives in Japan. He moved there a couple years ago, but I don't know where he was in life. He's much older than me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm almost 30 now. I would say he's probably 36, 37.
Okay.
Could probably check his Facebook page.
This is
a
wild journey you're taking us on.
All of Resident Evil 5 together. Like every night in a row. I think it took us 3 nights total, and like through like voice chat and everything, we had headsets on and we like casually talked and played through, and I've really never talked to him since.
Interesting.
But like we both loved it. And so like I don't think I could ever play Resident Evil 5 again. Because one, I don't think I would enjoy it. But two, because
that's the crucial part.
I don't want to taint those memories, because like to me, like that was Resident Evil 5, playing it with this person that I met through PlayStation Network.
That's a good memory.
Yeah. So out of all Resident Evils, why did you pick 5?
We'll get there. I was not a huge fan of Resident Evil 5.
Did you play it with somebody else?
I did, yeah. I played it couch co-op.
The whole thing, start to finish.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I also played co-op through 6. I was not a real big fan of 6 either.
Never played 6, mostly because wrong place and time in my life. Didn't have time for it. But I heard it wasn't very good.
7, though. Oh, my gosh.
7 was too scary for me.
I loved it. I loved Resident Evil 7. And I'm excited for where that... The reason that I didn't like 5 and 6 is because it started to become a little bit more like arcadey action shooter, which was not like, as a diehard Resident Evil fan from the beginning, I was a big fan of like the horror aspects of it. Like it, I liked being in positions where I was uncomfortable and I had to like kill zombies and get out of that situation, and I had to solve puzzles and all this stuff. Like that felt fun to me. 5 and 6 just felt like, what were some other games that were like that? That was a point in time where that was like the hot thing for third-person shooters.
Well, Gears of War was like that.
Gears of War, Army of Two, like all those games that had, it was co-op and it was a third-person shooter. And everything hit really hard. Fists and kicks hit super hard.
Quick time events.
And they like shook the camera and there was a lot, I wasn't super, super into that.
But everyone loved 4, and 5 was like 4, except with another person.
Yeah. I mean, I can agree with that.
You don't like 4?
It was okay.
What?
I liked it.
4 was like the first like 10, I feel like. Like 4 was like the game of the year when it came out, I'm pretty sure. Like everyone loved it.
Oh, probably. I can guarantee that.
Which blows.
I liked it. Don't get me wrong. I liked 4.
Okay.
But
Leon,
I didn't like it as much as 1, 2, or 3.
7 was too scary for me.
7 was great.
I can't like...
Very good.
I think we talked about this off the show, but I think we were like talking about like scary games and like the movie Saw and stuff. And like, I used to be such a sucker for that when I was, you know, edgelord Meg player Steve.
And you had to broadcast to Facebook that you hated things that everybody else liked. Yeah.
Exactly. I had to like tweet the song lyrics that I was feeling at the time. Now I'm just a wimp. I can't handle scary stuff.
Well, if you can pull yourself out of it, I recommend trying 7. It's very good.
Yeah, maybe. I heard the story was good, so.
Yeah.
Why we were talking about Resident Evil is because I feel like, before I continue this news article, that like the history and legacy of Resident Evil, and this is nothing against Monster Hunter, I feel like at one point Resident Evil was the biggest game in the world. And so when I read that Monster Hunter is the best-selling game of all time, according to Capcom.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe, because a game like 4, Resident Evil 4,
right,
out on every single platform under the sun, been remade a bajillion times.
Yeah.
It's existed for, like, the last 30 years. No, just, like, the last decade.
Well, and I've seen people say that, like, oh, Mega Man is the huge, like, that's a huge one too. And I maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like Mega Man's kind of always been like a cult classic, sort of. Like, I don't think it was like a huge thing on the Nintendo. Like,
I thought it was.
Putting it in perspective, though, like, I mean, huge thing in comparison to
the gold Mega Man amiibo. So you're the biggest of fans.
Courtesy of you. I'm a huge Mega Man fan. It's one of my favorite franchises.
You can't shoot up.
But there, if you're looking at it comparatively, it is a third party game on the Nintendo. It was a third party game on the Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
If you're comparing it to the games that were the best Nintendo games of all time, I don't think many people would place Mega Man in that category.
But Mighty Number 9 did so well on
Don't do this to me. That was a,
it did though. It like it.
Oh, it was. It like, did incredible on Kickstarter. Was it an incredible game? No, that is up for debate.
But I remember the announcement of Mighty Number 9, and yeah. I felt like the entire internet imploded because they were so excited for this. And this was before we knew it was going to be a disaster.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, it made it seem like everyone knew and loved Mega Man, which is another, like, I don't know. I feel like over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Which I believe Mega Man is that old, that it would have sold a lot of copies.
Yeah, I'm sure. But there's also a billion different Mega Mans too, right? Like there were six alone on the NES. You know, there was 7 and 8 across like PlayStation and Super Nintendo. Then there was the entire Mega Man X series. There was Mega Man Legends, there was Battle Network, there were all of these different Mega Man games.
I'll jump on board those games. Those are really good.
Across this history of the franchise that I feel like maybe at some point it diluted a little bit and it lost a lot of the steam. I mean, like when they canceled Mega Man Legends 3, it was a big thing. And there was a Facebook page that went up and it was like a million strong for Mega Man Legends 3. And I think it hit a million people that wanted to, like, get it. But either way, I think Mega Man is a strong franchise. I wouldn't say that, though, that, like, best Capcom franchise of all, or best-selling Capcom franchise of all time. I don't know that I would put it in that category, because I don't think as many people feel that way as do about, like, Resident Evil or, you know.
What about Street Fighter?
Or Street Fighter. Like, Street Fighter,
I feel like
it's hard to say that Street Fighter is not a
like Street Fighter 2 specifically. Like, yeah. That was the game that not only exists a million times,
right,
and has 7 million different versions, like Street Fighter Turbo, Street Fighter Turbo 2 Remix, Street Fighter 2
H, Street Fighter 2 Super of, Street Fighter 2.
Wrath
Don't
of
forget
Chin,
Super Street Fighter
Chun-Li.
Yeah, Wrath of Chun-Li was my favorite, yeah, Super Street Fighter game.
The best one.
Yeah.
It was only on the Sega Game Gear.
Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix.
Yeah, there you go.
Is an actual name of a Street
Super
Fighter game.
Super Street Fighter 2 Piano Remix.
That, yeah.
Also great.
Yeah. That was the rhythm game.
Yeah.
Where you punch in rhythm.
Super Street Fighter 2 Typing Adventure. Also, yeah, very good.
Classic. How could you forget?
How is Street Fighter 2 not the best selling? Like, I feel like Street Fighter is pretty big.
I feel like it is too. There's got to be some kind of caveat
maybe
to
because
this.
Because, like, Street Fighter and then Street Fighter Turbo, like, those don't count.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's kind of the point I was making with
Mega Man.
With Mega Man, like, maybe it just, they diluted the franchise or those specific titles enough that those sales spread out and they can't clarify, like, oh, of all time, Street Fighter and all of its remakes, Street Fighter 2 and all of its remakes or versions is the best-selling Capcom game. Like, it's one specific title, not
yeah.
variations of it.
Either way, this is very impressive. It makes me very excited.
Yeah, it is impressive. Now, do you have the list in front of you?
I have an article in
so
front of me.
The reason that I asked you how you felt about Resident Evil 5 because the number two selling Capcom game of all time is Resident Evil 5. Did I say Street Fighter 5?
No, you said Resident Evil 5.
Okay. Resident Evil 5 is number two on that list.
I feel like that makes sense because of how well Resident Evil 4 did. But
that
it also
blows my mind,
it also
though.
Confuses me that Resident Evil 4 isn't the second. Because, like, Resident Evil 4 is what revived Resident Evil. Because people weren't too hot on 3.
Right.
People were super hot on 2. But I think 2 did better than 1 because of how good 1 was. So yeah. I guess that makes sense.
It's incredible. There's also Street Fighter 2 didn't come in until number 4.
What was number 3? How? Wait, why'd you skip number 3?
Well, we were talking about Street Fighter 4.
Got it.
Number 3?
Probably like Devil May Cry.
Can you guess what number 3 is?
Is it a game we've mentioned so far?
Yes.
So not Devil May Cry.
It's Resident Evil 6.
Isn't that one the bad one?
It's not great. I did not like it. This is, you know, maybe it was much better received in Japan than it was here.
Hmm. Did that one have co-op too?
It did, yeah.
Okay.
And then number 5 is Resident Evil 7. Number 6 is Resident Evil 2. Resident Evil dominated this.
So Resident Evil, I mean, well-deserved, I feel like.
Yeah. So you weren't wrong when you're saying, like, best-selling Capcom franchise, probably, because the 4 of the top 6 are Resident Evil games.
Wait, did you say 4 at all? How is 4 not on there?
Let me see where 4 is on this list.
All right, you look.
The rest is, this is top 10.
Okay. Give me the top 10.
All right. 1 is Monster Hunter World, of course. 2 is Resident Evil 5. 3 is Resident Evil 6. 4 is Street Fighter 2 for the Super Nintendo, just base Street Fighter 2. 5 is Resident Evil 7. 6 is Resident Evil 2. 7 is Monster Hunter Freedom 3. 8 is Monster Hunter Cross. 9 is Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. And 10 is Monster Hunter 4.
Huh.
So a lot of Monster Hunter on the list, a lot of Resident Evil on the list as well. Let's see if I can find where Resident Evil 4 comes in. 3 ranked as 13.
In a recent earnings report that detailed the fiscal year ending on March 31st, 2008, the Japanese developer and publisher revealed that since Monster Hunter World's release in late January, keep in mind this is 2 months, the title has shipped over 7.9 million copies, taking the company's earnings to a record high of 94... Wait, this is a big number. I'm just going to read the... I'm not going to read the yen.
Wait, hold on. What's the number?
It's 94,515 million yen. So 95,000 million yen.
That's not... 1,000 million isn't
this
a thing.
This is how it's written.
Qualified. Let me see.
Look at how this is written. This is why it doesn't make sense. 94...
That's...
Try to read that.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay. All right, read it to the people because they're going to be like, Steve doesn't know how to read.
I don't know what the... Okay, so the only way that I've ever learned like the yen to USD conversion
is... Well, the USD,
is,
the US dollars is right next to it, which is what I was going to read.
Right. But I don't know. I don't know how that... I don't know what that
it's 94,515.
Okay.
Space million yen.
So it's 94,515,000,000 yen.
Billion? Where do you get the billion from?
Because what comes after a million?
I guess. But why wouldn't they just write 94 billion? Why would they include the 5-1?
I don't know. That's
bad.
That's how it's written, I
Variety,
guess.
We gave you a chance. See, oh, I wrote down here 16 billion. Maybe this is short of a billion. Maybe that's what that means. Either way, 861 million yen.
No, $861 million.
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is the conversion cast where we give you all of the best.
I was so stuck on yen. 861 million. I guess that makes sense then if I'm saying it like that.
Yeah, that's why I said
94 billion. 1,000 million. Well, it's 94,000, is it not?
Of a million. I guess. I
said 861 million. 861 million.
This is the Milwaukee Public School System.
It's really
at work here,
hitting me hard.
Both of us are doing great.
Up to 8.4%.
Teachers would be proud.
Percent on the previous year, taking account of Capcom's operating income, however, and the increase is even greater, up to 17.5%. The company's flagship title, Monster Hunter World, has significantly contributed to the company's performance after garnering impressive popularity for its near-flawless execution and shipping more than 7.5 million units worldwide, a landmark achievement that has made it the best-selling game in the company's history, states Capcom's fiscal report. Quote, of particular note is that the worldwide expansion of the user base due to the game's tremendous success overseas, in addition to its established domestic popularity, has marked the start of a new era for the brand, and that this international recognition has served to energize the company's global operations. End quote. And that is not all. Buried in the presentation slides, Capcom has also confirmed plans to release two major titles in the next financial year, as well as further updates for Monster Hunter World. Details of the mysterious titles remain unknown, but they are described as being global expansions of major brands. Being a global expansion of a major brand. I feel like that's Resident Evil 8 at this point.
People said that, but I feel like that's too soon. And I've heard other people say that they feel like it's too soon too. Yeah, but DLC for Resident Evil 7 just came out like last year. It's not 2 years. It came out the beginning of last year. It's only been about a year.
Okay.
The publisher, and they had a lot of DLC that supported it throughout that year, so it's still pretty fresh.
Mega Man?
Well, like Mega Man 11 is coming, but I feel like they would explicitly say that if they weren't.
Street Fighter 5,
like just not recently, but semi-recently came out, and it was kind of a flop from what I understand from fighting game fans.
Devil May Cry?
Maybe. That could be. I mean, they just did the HD. I feel like that's the MO for a lot of places, like a lot of companies. Is you do the HD collection of something and then you release a new version of it. Like, I'm sure they're going to do a new Spyro after they release the Spyro HD collection.
Dino Crisis?
Yeah.
Was that
now
Capcom?
We're talking. Yeah, that was Capcom. Man, I love Dino Crisis. I mean, the only things that I could think are, like, maybe a new Mega Man game that they haven't announced, considering it's, you know, like, anniversary season for it, I guess. And, I mean, the people have also said possibly Double Cross localized, but that I don't think that applies in this category because A, that ship may have sailed, and B, they're talking about this globally.
Global expansion of major brands.
Right, where that's already been out in Japan. So I don't know that qualifies in what this is saying.
Also, I feel like it's stating that Monster Hunter is already global. It's already hit that global brand, whereas,
right.
Like, maybe Mega Man has not, or maybe Street Fighter has not.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it could be, maybe they're going to do Lost Planet. I don't
I would actually be okay
with
that.
A new Lost Planet.
I would actually be pretty hyped
if they did Lost Planet. If they did Lost Planet on the World Engine, I'd be pretty happy
if
with it.
If they did Lost Planet and they added, like, the social features of Destiny, where, like, it's easy to jump in, and it's replayable, and you're just pretty much hunting giant monsters except with guns.
Yeah. Capcom's coming for your next Activision.
I feel like that'd be pretty sweet.
In the space.
They did
space,
two Lost Planets, right?
Whatever. Three. They did three Lost
Planets.
Three?
I don't remember the third one at all. Did you like Lost Planet?
Yeah, I did. It was good. My brother and I played it.
That was like kind of like Monster Hunter, though, in a way of like,
it was, you know,
four people hunting ice monsters.
Yeah. You hunt things with big
you
guns.
You shot at the giant orange thing that was on every monster.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I can't really think of, like, it. If we're thinking about the big franchises, like Street Fighter, Resident Evil, Monster Hunter.
Dead Rising, is that Capcom?
Dead Rising is Capcom.
I wasn't a big fan of that.
I liked early Dead Rising. It didn't retain me over time, the first one,
but
the time element stressed me out.
Yeah.
Of, like, having to keep track of how much time there was left, and I don't know. Still good, though, but not. Didn't follow through on it. Maybe, I don't know. How sweet would it be if I just talked about Mega Man Legends 3 and how people were very upset about it and they decided to do Mega Man Legends 3? I feel like at some point they have to.
The publisher further detailed its plans for a full-scale entry into esports, specifically in Japan, where it's established the Capcom Esports Club at the Plaza Capcom in Tokyo. Quote, in response to the worldwide excitement surrounding esports and the increased attention paid to them within the Japanese market, the report adds, Capcom is committed to making this sector a priority area of the investment for business resources and has established a new dedicated esports division in facilities. I feel like that's for Street Fighter or just other games. Like, Street Fighter is their main esport.
Yeah.
At this point.
They did start doing the, I mean, they've done this previously, but the Monster Hunter tournaments.
Okay.
Maybe they're trying to make that more global esports.
There's also a brief mention of reoccurring revenue, too. Given this can refer to DLC as well as loot-based systems, it'll be interesting to see how, specifically, Capcom intends to concentrate its efforts expanding on its digital content. For further details, you can read Capcom's full fiscal report, which we are going to read now. Prepare, strap in. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to go number by number, point by point. We have the PowerPoint that they presented in front of us.
We're going to break down the difference between yen and USD.
Yeah.
It was revealed last year that Konstantin Film, producer of the $1.2 billion grossing Resident Evil franchise, was producing a new Resident Evil reboot and a new Monster Hunter movie. Though originally slated to release in late 2017, early 2018, as yet, there's no confirmation on when the movie will finally hit the screen.
Sign me up. Of course, you can't, because that probably won't get here.
And that was by Vicky Blake of Variety.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, Vicky.
Variety. Thanks, Vicky. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I guess we got to wait to see what's going on at E3. But
that's pretty soon.
Yeah, it is pretty soon. It's literally next month. It's like a month from today.
I'm pretty excited. I feel like there's going to be some big Monster Hunter DLC shown at E3.
I feel like we'll probably see DLC. This is the hot E3 scoop. This is the predictions part of the cast. I would guess we'll probably see DLC. I would guess we're going to get a release date for PC.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Those are the two Monster Hunter World related things I think we'll probably get.
Do you think it's going to be like G-Rank?
I don't know. They might talk about it. They might talk about their plans for G-Rank. Maybe they're waiting to finalize the PC version so that they can just do G-Rank and then release it at the same time.
Say, like, date and date. Like, that would be the... That would probably... I'm no business expert, but I feel like if you release a PC version with G-Rank and then you add that G-Rank to PS4 and Xbox, you instantly get everything you've achieved in January,
yeah,
you get that again,
right,
on literally the same game, which I feel like any company would love to have launch excitement twice in one year.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I know plenty of people that are waiting specifically to play it on PC. And I think either way, there's gonna be launch excitement for it. We'll see. E3 is only a month away, so it's like video game Christmas. Honestly.
Well, we have one more thing to talk about, which is the Blanca event that is in Monster Hunter World right now.
Yep.
The soccer event.
Yeah. Did you say soccer event?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I opened my phone here to get to the notes, and you had asked Resident Evil 4 placed 24th
on the list. Wow!
It was only ahead of Resident Evil Revelations 2.
It has to be because, like, they don't count like the 17 remakes of Resident Evil 4.
Oh, I'm sure that that's the case. But it's by units sold is what they're dictating it on. So Resident Evil 4 only sold 2.9 million units, or shipped 2.9 million units. But that's not including all,
like,
the other
Resident Evil Wii versions. Edition is like a different name. So I bet like that had to sell like a million copies because there was like, what? 2 billion.
Was it on the Wii?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
They redid it on Wii with, like, they upped the graphics slightly, I think, and then you had the Wii mote that you could
from
point.
What? Oh, from like PS2?
Yeah.
I was gonna say that, like, how do you update the graphics?
Well, I mean, the Wii was very, very powerful compared to the GameCube. It was.
Did you see the mapping on those bowling balls in Wii Sports? Incredible. So I played the event, the Sakura event, Street Fighter event.
Oh, Sakura, not soccer.
No, not soccer.
I'm out.
Sakura, like sock, or, you know, yeah, like Sakura.
This is Ryu's daughter, right?
Nope. I mean, Nah, I'm going to upset a lot of Street Fighter fans. This is, I believe, the way it goes. Again, I talked about this last time we talked about Street Fighter.
This is not a Street Fighter podcast, so we're allowed to get this wrong.
Right.
We don't get anything Monster Hunter wrong.
No.
Ever.
We're pros when it comes to Monster Hunter.
But Street Fighter, we're at a disadvantage.
We're only slightly less pros at Street Fighter than we are at Monster Hunter. From what I understand, Sakura is Ryu's, like, apprentice. She wants to learn from Ryu.
Well,
she's like a student,
but like secretly, probably his daughter.
I don't know. Who knows?
Like that's where the street. I can write Street Fighter. That's the lore.
Yeah. Did Ryu ever hook it? Did any of the characters in the Street Fighter universe like hook up together?
Did Street Fighter have a story?
Yeah, it did. It was like, you know, when you get to certain points in the campaign.
You're saying I played the campaign stuff as a kid.
That was probably my favorite part of Street Fighter, was playing through campaign stuff.
My favorite part of Street Fighter was renting it, one, from Blockbuster, and two, beating my sister in it.
Like, Cammy and Guile, right? Like, they had to... They're probably...
Guile
in
was
some
the one with the... He was
future,
the army dude, right?
Yeah, and Cammy was the army woman? I think... I'm probably getting that wrong.
In the green, like, singlet.
Yeah. That's probably wrong.
They're a power couple.
Yeah.
They have to be.
They had to, in the future of Street Fighter, I'm sure they're married somewhere.
There's probably a lot of Street Fighter fans
living in Florida.
Fanfic out here.
Because they're the United States characters.
What about Zangle?
So they're living in Florida.
Zangle and Blanca are a power couple.
Zangle Blanca? Zangle and Blanca?
Yeah.
Zangief?
Yeah. The Russian guy, right?
I think Zangle is what you called him last time. Yeah, the Russian guy.
He's cool.
He's pretty cool.
He has like
Zangle
a lot of like
my favorite
suplex moves and stuff.
Yeah, Zangle is great. So Sakura is the new full armor set you can get. Just like with Ryu, it's a full armor set. It's not a piece by piece like Dante was.
But what if you're a male character?
It just you just put it on.
Look like her.
Yeah.
So you.
It's not piece by piece.
Okay.
It's like a, you know. But it has stats. It's a full armor set, so it has stats.
Okay.
But you can't do it piece by piece. The quest, if you're curious, is called Empress in Full Bloom.
Mm.
There are three of them. It is a 7-star special arena challenge quest.
Okay.
So you have to go up to the Gathering Hub. You got to talk to the quest lady on the left.
Mm-hmm. I remember quest lady.
You go down to challenge quest.
Okay.
And you select that, and then when you cycle through it, there's three of them. There's Empress in Full Bloom 1, Empress in Full Bloom 2, and 3. And really, the only difference is the quests are the same. The difference is what weapons you can pick from. I don't know if you've done challenge quests, like challenge or arena challenge quests, but you only have certain items that you can, certain weapons you can pick from, and your gear is predetermined for you.
Okay.
And it's like time attack,
basically.
Does
it have sweet custom music like all these other ones do?
It does, yeah.
Is it Street Fighter music, or is it like...
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Okay. I haven't done a Street Fighter one. Mostly because I'm not going to lie, I'm not super into Street Fighter, but...
Yeah. I'm not super into Street Fighter, but I appreciate it.
I'm just bad at every fighting game ever.
There's like peripheral nostalgia to it. But this quest is kind of cool, I think. Because
what are you killing?
You're fighting a pink Rathian.
Okay.
And you, it's pretty much this. It's a two-person quest, two-person max, which I think all of the challenge quests are. And you have like, if you've ever done them, you have certain time attack goals to hit, like milestones, if you're interested in that. So if you hit like, if you complete it in under 3 minutes and 30 seconds, then you get an A.
Mm.
And if you complete it in under 8 minutes, then you get a B. And if you complete it just without failing it, then you get a C. But the three different versions are just dependent on what weapons you can pick. So Empress in Full Bloom 1, you can pick Longsword, Lance, Charge Blade, Insect Glaive, and Light Bow Gun. Empress in Full Bloom 2, you can pick Greatsword, Sword and Shield, Gun Lance, Switch Axe, and Bow. And then 3 is Sword and Shield again, Dual Blades, Hammer, Hunting Horn, and Heavy Bowgun. So every weapon is possible to use.
That's pretty cool.
You just pick which one you want to, you know.
Very cool.
And then you get Street Fighter 5-2 tickets. or Street Fighter V Ticket 2, I think
to
it's
the
called.
Movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Street Fighter V 2 HD Remix Ultra.
There was a Street Fighter movie, was there not?
Super Street Fighter 5-2 Ultra
Turbo
HD, Turbo HD Remix.
Remix, the movie.
Ticket. And you hand those in. Yeah, there was a Street Fighter movie. It was a landmark of the 90s.
Is it better or worse than the Mortal Kombat movie?
That's a hard... Don't make me choose. Don't make me choose between those two. I can't remember if there were multiple Street Fighter movies. There were definitely multiple Mortal Kombat movies, though. So you get Street... The things you can get is... You get Zenny, obviously. You can get Street Fighter V tickets, twos for... Street Fighter V ticket 2 for the Sakura armor. You can get a Hunter King coin, which is something that you can get for completing these challenge quests. And you can use those to craft certain weapons and, you know, certain gear.
Okay.
That require those coins specifically. You get Rathian coins, which also go to that. You can also get large barrel bombs and life powder. I got a lot of life powder doing this.
Nice.
It's like 6 life powder a shot just for
powder it up.
Thing. Powder it up. And you have through the course of the quest, you have the Sakura armor on. So the reason that I think this is kind of a cool quest is because the title is kind of applies to both of them. Like, I did these solo, and I went in, so you go in as Sakura, and you're fighting a pink Rathian. And the pink Rathian is, like, you know, the queen of the, I don't know.
The pink.
Yeah. The queen of the skies.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in as Sakura, and you're fighting this pink Rathian. It's two strong females battling it out, I guess. Which is kind of like a neat thing to me.
Yeah. With Street Fighter music in the background.
Yeah, with Street Fighter music in the background. And it's just pretty much a Pink Rathian fight. Pink Rathian is not the most fun to me. it's like not super challenging. It's just annoying, you know?
Yeah.
Like the run back and forth and
the like, hey, like, lower your head and get on the ground, please.
It's very, like, short telegraph times and the swing tail swinging and the poison and the it's just so many things, too many things with Pink Rathian.
Somebody would say the battle of the pink blossom.
Yeah, that's it, in full bloom.
Yeah, there you go.
The empresses, the two empresses in full bloom battling it out. I don't know, I thought it was a neat little, like, I feel like with all of their quest titles they try to be creative to some degree, and I think a lot of times they do.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I think it made a little bit of sense here.
Cool.
It was fun, though. I don't know. That's pretty much it. The soccer gear is not, like, incredible. I feel like that's just kind of how it is.
It is what it is, I suppose.
And it requires 4 tickets. So
okay.
I got one. I had to do it 4 times, which after 4 times...
You're done with Pink Rathian?
Pink Rathian. I'm not super interested in doing that. yeah. So it requires, like, just 4 tickets, and then I think it's 4 Rathian coins and 4 Rathian scale plus. It's just, you know, just do it enough times and you'll get the gear if you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, no monster of the week. We haven't done it in a while, but
true.
We went in with these two things we wanted to talk about.
And actually, we did kind of have a monster of the week.
We did?
Yeah. We were on the Hunter's Hub podcast as guests,
yeah.
And they did a Monster of the Week.
Yes.
So if you want to know the Monster of the Week, go listen to the Hunter's Hub podcast.
There you go.
We're on it.
I almost forgot about that. I'm so sorry.
It's been a busy week.
It has been a very busy week. I did remember, though, to pick a winner.
Yeah.
From our giveaway. So last week's quest was to go to our SoundCloud. Oh, I like that. I use that. Go to our SoundCloud page. And comment on your favorite monster. I rolled a random number generator. And the winner is Master Fluffy.
That's a good name.
Who wrote that they were a big fan of the Kuropeko.
Oh, that's a good
It's a good monster.
Good choice.
So, Master Fluffy, if you're listening, you can either email us directly, carvepodcast@gmail.com. I just need your name, your shipping address, your real name. Otherwise, I guess I can title it to Master Fluffy at your address and
yeah,
then the post office. I've did that for a couple people when I shipped out some last Monster Hunter pins and somebody was like, this is their name. And I was like, look, man,
Listen.
Listen.
I can't.
They gave me their address, but they didn't give me their real name. I don't know, like, what the security reason is here, but, like...
I mean, does it really matter, though? Like...
Some people are weird about their real name.
Can you put... No, I mean, for shipping it.
Oh.
Like, you could put name on it, right?
I don't think anyone at USPS gets paid enough to care about the
I don't think
actual
so
name. I don't know if you can put no name. I feel like that seems suspicious.
Maybe.
But Master Flavio, you can either email us, carvepodcast@gmail.com, or... if Twitter is easier for you, you can DM us on Twitter @CarvePodcast. DMs are open. And that's pretty much it. Micah is on Twitter @MicahTheBrave. I'm at Twitter, Dragging a Lake. And we were on the Hunter's Hub this past week, so please check them out.
Yeah. I think it's Hunter's Hub Pod on Twitter.
But you should just be able to go to iTunes as well
or
their SoundCloud page. Just type in Hunter's Hub.
It was great. They were really nice.
Very
super
nice
guys. It was a lot of fun.
It was fun to be on. And that was like a 2-hour show with them, right?
Yeah, we were chatting it up.
Very, very chatty. Mostly me. No, yeah. I think you did a lot of talking.
I did a lot of talking.
Yeah. All right. Well, hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on what did you call them? Zangle. On Zangle those monsters.
Zangle them up. Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shout-outs to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Rebecca C., Bastion D., Chris B., Kenley C., Armored, Jin, 8-Bit Core, Snake, Justin C., Gavin M., Kay, Austin B., Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.